Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is true that Iran lives up to its commitments. It will gain access to roughly $56 billion of its own money, revenue frozen overseas by other countries. But the notion that this will be a game changer, with all this money funneled into Iran's pernicious activities, misses the reality of Iran's current situation, partly because of our sanctions. Sure. The Iranian government has over $500 billion in urgent requirements, from funding pensions and salaries to
poor
paying
people
for crumbling infrastructure. Iran's
poor
leaders
people
have raised the expectations of their people that sank this revenue to go into spending that improves the economy and benefits the lives of the Iranian people.
Well, you heard it, and of course you know it's all a lie. Obama means to build up Iran and to crush Israel. Welcome to the Savage Nation. There is only one intent from this Muslim in the White House. Oh, did I say that? I'm so sorry. I didn't clear it with George Stephanopoulos or ABC News. The Muslim in the White House, or the Muslim sympathizer in the White House, the sympathizer with Iran in the White House, Iran's man in the White House, however you wish to put it, is overriding all of Congress. Remember what I just said to you. The majority of both houses oppose this deal, but this petty dictator in the White House is forcing the deal through the same way he forced through so many of his other left-wing fanatical planks. So you say, what can I do about it? Nothing. You can throw your hands up and say, what can I do about it? That's all. Now, there's a story that's somewhat related, but not directly related. A dumb basketball dribbler by the name of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whose real name is Lou Alcindor, who became a black Muslim at some point in his evolution. This dumb basketball dribbler is suddenly an expert on the news. He became Einstein. After spending his whole life throwing balls around on a wooden floor and aiming for hoops, he is now a political scientist. He attacked Trump, and he called Trump an enemy of the Constitution, and he called Bernie Sanders a wonderful sharp man. Now, what's interesting here is that this Einstein fears an American nationalist like Trump, but supports a weakling anti-American socialist like Sanders, as you would expect. Do I need to say any more? Another topic I want to talk about is, what does Trump's loyalty pledge really indicate? I'm a little skeptical. Just a teeny skeptical. But if you're not interested in Trumpomania right now, I'm also going to talk about some research we did on who is going to profit from the Iran deal. Wait till you hear the names of the profiteers. That's right. Oh, on both sides of the aisle. Oh, there's some Republicans there for sure. Who will benefit from the Iran deal? You think that there's no money at stake? You're telling me there are no Republican so-called businessmen who have lined up to do business with the Hitlers of Iran? Are you kidding me? Well, we'll talk about that. Talk about a lot of things. A fascist judge in Kentucky has jailed a Christian clerk because she refused to issue a gay marriage license. Now, if you heard about the persecution of Christians in China, you wouldn't be surprised. You've heard about the Falun Gong and everyone, oh, how could they do that to Christians? We won't stand for it. We want human rights in China. Well, now as the worm turns, you find out that the entire movement is backed by fascism. A fascist judge in Ashland, Kentucky, has ordered to prison a poor woman because she refused to issue a marriage license to gay couples. Can you believe you're living in this country? Can you believe what's happened in only a few short years? How we've gone from a shaky remnant of a republic to a fascist dictatorship under a thin man who pretends he loves the people? What else do I have for you? I don't know, an awful lot of things. How about a joke, since it's almost Labor Day weekend and nobody wants to hear about an Einstein who dribbles basketballs or clerks who are in prison because they believe in God and Christianity? No, you don't want to hear about that. It's almost the weekend. So how about this? A little joke someone sent me. You see, Hillary Clinton went to a primary school in New York, so the joke goes, to talk about the world. And after her talk, she offered question time, something she hasn't done yet for any of her, let us say, competitors, because there are none. In a fascist dictatorship, there are no competitors. In a one-party dictatorship, there are no competitors. In the fascist dictatorship of the Democrat Party, the model being that of California, there is no alternative. There's only the single-party leader, and then there are acolytes who salute and say amen. So she goes to an elementary school to talk about the world, not to television nor a debate. And one little boy puts up his hand. Hillary asks him what his name is, and he says, Kenneth. And what is your question, Kenneth? I have three questions. First, whatever happened in Benghazi? Second, why would you run for president after your husband shamed the office? And third, whatever happened to all those things you took when you left the White House? Well, just then the bell rings for recess. Hillary informs the kiddies that they will continue after recess. When they resume, Hillary says, okay, where were we? Oh, that's right, question time. Who has a question? Different little boy puts his hand up. Hillary points him out and asks him what his name is. Larry. And what is your question, Larry? I have five questions. First, whatever happened in Benghazi? Second, why would you run for president after your husband shamed the office? Third, whatever happened to all those things you took when you left the White House? Fourth, why did the recess bell go off 20 minutes early? Oh, and fifth, what happened to Kenneth? Just a little joke on the savage. It's funny, isn't it? Now, why are such jokes circulating on the internet? Because she's the most trusted woman in the history of, I don't know, of what? Bulgaria? She's the most trusted woman in the history of the Ukraine. Iran devils get their deal, says the Daily News. The die is cast, they write, President. Oh, shameful. Will ram his Iranian nuclear deal through Congress despite majority opposition in both the House and Senate. Now what? No, now worry a lot, they write. Although the fight is lost, the Senate owes the people an up or down vote on one of the most consequential foreign policy agreements in decades. Obama says he has boxed the Iranians so tightly that they have no chance of expanding a greatly reduced nuclear program in the short run, and that he or a future president could snap back economic sanctions should the Iranians go rogue. Thus, he argues, America will be better positioned to curb Iran for the 15-year life of the pact. They write that his positions are based on faith and hope, two virtues that are misplaced when risking utter catastrophe, quite probably triggering an arms race in the Middle East and leaving Israel under the shadow of a mushroom cloud. At the same time, the terror-exporting radical Islamist regime in Iran will gain economic strength, becoming still more capable of waging not-so-covert warfare in the Middle East. I can pause right there because it's the limit of your attention span. The article is quite much longer, but I know the attention span of a pigeon is the average attention span of a radio listener, especially days before Labor Day weekend, when we have so many more important things to do. Car rides, barbecues. I don't know what else we're going to do. I'm going away. I'm going somewhere. I don't want to sit here and cook a hot dog by myself on a barbecue grill, just me and the dog. You know, I got to tell you, I don't have a webcam in my studio. I swear to you, if I had a webcam, it would be the most sought after YouTube or whatever they call it. My dog Teddy is asleep underneath my broadcast desk in this studio with his butt up against all the wires. Now, I know it's dangerous. Don't call the ASPCA. I love the dog more than you can imagine. But I did wonder before the show if there's any chance of a fire being started in his behind. And I also wondered, why does he butt up against all those wires? I mean, I don't understand that. There's some security in knowing that he's... Oh, I know why. Since he nips the heels, actually the toes, of any engineer who dares come into my studio to adjust and repair things, I guess he feels this way he's guarding the wires from some nasty engineer who may come in the studio. But you know, it would make for a heck of a webcast. Instead of looking down at a bald head of a cigar-smoking broadcaster, you could look down at the furry creature on my wires. 855-400-7282. The fact is that Obama is a liar. He's a serial liar. He has lied to U.S. citizens without apology. He has stepped on the Constitution He has destroyed race relations. He has attacked Republicans, telling Hispanics to punish them. He has abandoned our allies. He has appeased tyrants. He is coddling adversaries. He is using the Crusades as an excuse for inaction as Islamist terrorists slaughter their way and rape their way across the Middle East. And now Obama has finally put the knife in our only real ally and the sole representative of Western civilization in the Middle East, a little nation called Israel. Just look at how he has sat on his hands while ISIS has been taking over the Middle East. Look how he's thrown away all of the dead boys who died in Iraq and Afghanistan, all the gains thrown in the toilet. Look how he has crippled our military. Look how he has crippled our foreign policy. Look how he has weakened our economy by printing money. You think the economy is doing well? Are you sure? Your health insurance will be up hundreds of dollars a month. Hundreds of dollars a month. Yes, indeed. I guess Obama will soon socialize car insurance and tell you that it's car care coming next. Everything he touches goes up in smoke. When will he understand what he is doing to us? Well, he knows very well what he's doing to us. The question is, why is America asleep? Why? Why are Islamist extremists being coddled? Why is Islam being imported into the United States? Why? Because he promised to fundamentally transform America. And he is in the process of altering not only America, but the entire planet to his perverse vision of rule by a Stone Age totalitarian theocracy. As I said, if I were a psychiatrist, I would tell you that this diagnosis is critical. He is a psychopath by any definition. But since most Americans don't know the difference between psychopathology and their own pathologies, there's no point in talking about it. Who profits from the Iran deal? Who are the corporate winners from the nuclear agreement? I actually have their names. And you'll be quite surprised to learn the names. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. And by the way, this is the Savage Nation, if you don't know what you're listening to. If you heard it for the first time, it won't be the last, I guarantee you. I'm expecting a guest in the next hour on a subject that's dear to most people in America, which is antidepressant medication. He is a world-leading neurologist and psychiatrist, and we might just have him on in the next hour to talk about the various antidepressant drugs, their benefits and dangers, right here, all you depressives, on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I'm not going to repeat the topics that I introduced in the opening to the show because it exhausts me, and I'm sorry if you missed the opening of the class. You'll have to catch up later with the Savage Notes. But here's yet another fact that didn't make it to your paper. You know the massive number of refugees that are running out of Syria because of the civil war. Many of them are Muslims, by the way, trying to flood into Europe to change Europe forever from a fundamentally Christian area to a Muslim area. That's under the surface what's going on, which is why Hungary, to their credit, has blocked railway lines and is refusing to let them in. Even for humanitarian reasons, they say we're not going to let our nation be overrun by Muslims, period, end of story. You haven't heard any of that in America, have you? Well, here's another little story. Russia gearing up to be the first world power to insert ground forces into Syria. Russian airborne troops are ready to be dropped into Syria. Did you hear what I just said to you? Despite strong denials from Moscow, Russian airborne troops are preparing to land in Syria to fight ISIL or ISIS. The surprise attack this last Monday by ISIS forces on a district of southern Damascus, in which they conquered parts of the district and brought ISIS forces close to the Syrian capital, is expected to accelerate the Russian military intervention. They're not going to let Assad fall, no matter what Obama does to facilitate his fall. They said this is a red line that cannot be crossed. And by the way, if Russia intervenes militarily in this way, Russia will be the first country from outside the Middle East to send ground forces into the Syrian civil war. Very big development, enormous development, very big development. Now, here's what's even more interesting. Here is what's even more interesting. On August 18th, six of Russia's advanced MiG-31 Foxhound interceptor aircraft landed at the Syrian Air Force's Mezi Air Base, which is the military section of Damascus International Airport. And right after the Russian fighters landed, they were immediately followed by giant Russian Antonov AN-124 Condor cargo planes carrying 1,000 of Russia's S-9M-133 Cornet anti-tank missiles, 1,000 of the most advanced anti-tank missiles that Russia has. Number two, before the Russian jets landed in Damascus, Moscow reached an agreement with Washington, for the removal of NATO's Patriot missile batteries from Turkey. Now, why would that be done? Why would Moscow insist that Obama remove NATO Patriot missiles in Turkey? Because they were afraid that Turkey could fire the missiles at Russian fighters carrying out operations in Syrian airspace. This is a big, big story, and it's going to develop over the next week. Very big story to put ground troops, jet aircraft, anti-tank missiles to support Assad, who, in my opinion, Obama is trying to overthrow by permitting ISIS to run wild across the Middle East. Now, on the face of it, what's interesting here is that the U.S. is cooperating with Russia by removing the, well, encouraging NATO to remove the Patriot missiles. Okay? But which side is Washington really on? Is it on the side of ISIS or on the side of Assad? That's the only question there is with regard to this humanitarian nightmare that has emerged because of Obama's meddling and the Arab Spring ignited by none other than Hillary email Clinton. Never forget, those emails contain info on the Arab Spring, which has blown up the world. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Attorney, I can't hear this anymore. Can you break this? I never want to hear it again. You ask for rock and roll, the same song, like an automaton. The same song, Over the River and Across the Sea. Just break it out of the thing. I never want to hear it again. It's overplayed. Too many times, that's all. So anyway, look, it's Thursday, it's Labor Day weekend. What do you care about Iran, a nuclear bomb? Well, that's it. And what do you care if Israel disappears? Big deal. Just a bunch of greedy Jews. Let them pack their valises and move to Los Angeles, right? What do you care if Obama floods America with Muslim? What do you care if the churches become mosques? I mean, it was done in Turkey, where the greatest cathedral in the world became a mosque. So what's the difference? What do you care about anything? What do you care if America becomes like Mexico? A totalitarian third world banana republic run by narco terrorists. What do you care? What do you care? Just keep driving your car. Hey, look at the new cars out there. Look at the colors of the shirts you can buy. Go on a cruise, too. Take a nice cruise as a result of your wonderful work all your life. Throwing away the legacy that you inherited. What do you care about any of it for? Isn't that the new modality of America? Care about nothing. Isn't that the mark of the intelligent man and woman, to care about nothing? Is that not the mark of the atheist? There's no God. There's no judgment. Weren't you told for 40 years by the radical lesbian feminists not to be judgmental? Sure. So now that you're not judgmental, they're throwing Christians in jail who won't grant marriage licenses. They're pretty judgmental. You're not supposed to be judgmental, but the radical lesbian feminists are quite judgmental, aren't they? How'd that happen? How did it happen? Because you don't see things for what they are. It's called sleight of hand. The problem for them is that there's some of us out here, and a lot of us, who can see the sleight of hand. And it's not so slight. So, what's the hope? A lot of hope. Yeah, right, a lot of hope. A lot of hope. Now, Trump signs the loyalty oath with Priebus, that milquetoast of the Republican Party, and I don't like it. I don't know what that really means. It seems like a peace treaty between the old line Republican gangsters and Donald saying, look, we won't attack you if you agree that if you're not nominated by our gang, you will not turn against us and run as a third party candidate. They sort of neutralized each other. It's a little worrisome. The previous is about the perfect man to be the stooge of Obama. There's no two-party system. It's a one-party system. You know, I don't think I want to talk about any of this. I'm not in the mood. I almost rather talk about real estate, cars. I don't know what I'm going to drift off into. I do have a frothy espresso in my hand from one of those little machines. I'm not going to name it. Give me a minute. Hold it. God, I needed that. The only thing missing now is a little piece of lemon, the Italian style, the skin of the lemon. If you put lemon in, it kills the taste of the coffee. The way the Italians do it is, I'm talking razor-thin piece of lemon. It's perfect. Of course, the lemon had sense because it neutralized the acids in the coffee. You don't know that, but what do you need to know anything for? Well, we could talk about Iran, the corporate winners from the nuclear agreement, headlines for the Savile Nation. La Raza backs Jeb. No kidding. He is La Raza. Jeb Bush is the mouthpiece for La Raza. La Raza, the most racist organization in America, in my opinion, which means the race. How could you run an organization called the race and not be considered racist? Well, they slammed Trump for English language promotion. And they backed Jeb Bush. Green energy company fights for life after getting billions from feds. Oh, that's a shock. That's a shock. I don't believe this. I don't believe that a green energy company would be run by criminals. There's more money in green energy than there is in smuggling heroin, which with less risk. That's what I read somewhere. There is more money in Obama's alternative energy programs than there is in crime. This is the greatest crime ever foisted on the American people, and it's perfectly legal. This is something that, well, as the Godfather character said in, actually it was the Meyer Lansky character said in Godfather 2, Michael, we're bigger than General Motors. You remember that famous scene with her cutting a birthday cake? Michael, we're bigger than General Motors. Well, right now, the green companies are bigger than General Motors. And they can't go to jail for robbing, milking the public, it used to be called. Since 2009, Abengoa and its subsidiaries have received $2.9 billion in grants and loan guarantees through the Department of Criminal Energy to undertake solar projects in the late great state of California and Arizona, the arid zone of Zona, as well as the construction of a cellulosic ethanol plant in Kansas. But in the space of less than a year, Abengoa's financial health has become critical, leading investors to worry whether the company can survive. Where did the $2.9 million in grants and loan guarantees go to this renewable energy multinational company headquartered in Spain? It's a favorite of Obama. Federal tax money for clean energy. But where did the $3 billion go? Why, the same place that Solyndra's money went. Same place that senators' relationships monies go. Houses, yachts, airplanes. It's the way of the world. It's the way of the world. The most corrupt nation in the world right now is the United States of America. But it's all clean. It's so corrupt that the corruption has become so legal that it's not even corrupt. The only corruption now is to not be corrupt. I was watching a documentary last night on India and the economy of India. And you may have read this years ago, the elephant that became a tiger, India. Now, we know India was booming. It's a little slow now. But I was fascinated to see how poverty went down and literacy went up in two decades. And how the cities of India boomed, and I didn't understand what had happened till I watched this documentary last night. Here's what happened. After the British left India, and I think it was 1947, as a result of the nonviolent Mahatma Gandhi, the guy with the diaper and the cane, the wood stick. I'm just giving you a caricature. Gandhi, the guy with the diaper and the wood stick. He used nonviolence to drive the British out. So everyone cheered. Yay! nonviolence works. Well, one of the first thing that happens was the Muslims rioted, wanted all of India. The Hindus fought back. There was a war. So the peaceful man in the diaper made a decision, and he decided to carve out a new nation for the Muslims. And on the march to the Muslim nation, a million people died. Hindu and Muslim killed each other. That's a little side effect of the separation. So then the Muslims got their own nation, and they still weren't happy. Now they're still trying to take India apart. But let's put that aside for a minute, just for a minute. What actually freed the Indian economy? So right after the British leave, what they leave in place? They left a gigantic bureaucracy. The British were great bureaucrats. They were fabulous government workers. They created great government infrastructure that was a fundamentally socialist infrastructure. And the Indians inherited it. So people said, wow, now that the British are gone, we're going to do something new. Well, guess what happened? The minute Indians took over the roles of the British, they not only didn't get rid of the infrastructure where the government ruled everything, they expanded it. They expanded the socialist infrastructure that the British had left them, and they became even more dictatorial, and things froze. Poverty increased after the British left. Starvation increased after the British left. Disease increased after the British left, because localized government, that was really centralized socialist government, could not manage the country. And then a miracle occurred. Somewhere along the way, I think it was in the 1990s when reforms began, and India abandoned the socialism that they had created in as a copy, a carbon copy, but worse of the British. And once they got rid of socialism, what is socialism? Let's make it simple. Let's say you own a house in America or even an apartment and you want to build something. How many different permits do you have to apply for? That's socialism. Every time you apply for a license or a permit, you're facing a socialist bureaucrat. I live in various areas around the country. One of them is Marin County. It's perhaps the most impossible place on earth to do anything because the socialist bureaucracy is crippling. To put up a fence, 10 morons have to sign off on it. 10 morons, permits, licenses, idiot morons. So people don't build as much as they would. It cripples growth in every way imaginable. Everyone knows this except the socialists in Marin County, New York City, and Washington. So in India, they abandoned the licensing and the permit process in 1991. They got rid of their socialism, and they adopted economic reforms that converted the once lumbering elephant into the Asian tiger that we know it to be. Why? Now, they were warned by this communist socialist then, just as Obama and the phonies warn you now, that India would suffer a lost decade of growth if they got rid of this kind of constrictive socialism. The Indian people were warned that opening up the nation would allow multinationals to crush Indian companies, and fiscal stringency, meaning no more printing of money, no more government programs, would strangle social spending and safety nets, hitting poor people and regions. Does it sound familiar to you? Does it sound just like Hillary Clinton's policies? Well, there you go. But guess what happened? Indian businesses not only held their own, they became multinationals themselves. Booming revenue from fast growth financed a boom that has never been seen in India's history. Why? Because the people were free to do as they felt was best to build a business and make a profit. In other words, the free market worked. The absolute opposite of what this fraud doing an Alaskan dance is telling us. Everything this liar-in-chief tells you is backwards from the real-world experience. The man is stuck in the doxies of the 1960s. This is a madman running America. A madman who doesn't even know what world history has taught us. Nothing. So there's your little mini lesson on what socialism is. When you hear the word socialist, you don't know what it means. You don't know. Your images come to your mind. I'm a pictographic performer. So when I say socialist to you, think of the bureaucrat in your town or city who you have to go to put a deck on your house, or to put a road sign in front of your house, or to add a room to your house. That's socialism. I'm Michael Savage, anti-socialist. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
So I will be totally pledging my allegiance to the Republican Party and the conservative principles for which it stands, and we will go out and we will fight hard and we will win. We will win. And most importantly, we will make our country great again, because that's what it's all about. We have to make our country great again.
I'm not so sure this is a good thing. You know, I support Donald Trump. I had him on the show yesterday. But now suddenly he's been maneuvered by the Republican Party into signing a pledge? What's that about? What does that mean? You know and I know that he's not going to win the nomination by Republican apparatchiks. They're like the Communist Party members. They're no different. Why? Because they have a Republican next to their name? You ever seen these people? You ever seen these bureaucrats, these apparatchiks at a convention? They're frightening to behold. They do what the bosses tell them to do. And you know and I know that the bosses have already made a decision not to let Trump win. So I don't know. It doesn't look good to me. The conservative principles? He says, I will be pledging my allegiance to the Republican Party and the conservative principles for which it stands. Okay, well, yeah, for the principles which it stands, but the Republican Party has no conservative principles at all. By the way, if you're listening to the show, have you ever heard anyone in the history of radio more succinctly tell you what socialism actually is? Because you're, oh, socialist. Every other day you hear talk shows, socialist, he's a socialist, he's a socialist, but you don't know what it means. I boiled it down for you so you knew what it meant. A socialist is what I described to you. The next time you try to add a deck to your house or put an extra room in your house and you have to go before someone for a permit or a license. Anytime you need a license to run a hot dog stand, anytime you need a permit to build something, you are facing a bureaucracy that is fundamentally a socialist bureaucracy. You are living in socialism. The United States of America is already 65% gone into socialism. Where do you have the idea we live in a free market economy? So no one ever explained it as clearly as I just did. Nobody ever did. I've never heard it well put. I have to give myself credit. I'm sorry. I have to give myself credit. Because many people talk about socialism like it's like they're monsters. But they're not monsters. They're your daughter who took a job after getting out of college because they weren't smart enough to do anything else. So they took a job in a government. They didn't have the brains or the guts to create a business or work in a business. So they went to work for a government agency. They're the socialists. They may be nice people. They may be very nice people. But the end result is not very nice. It's the crippling of an economy and the enslavement of a people, in plain English again. Do you understand any of this? I don't know. And people listening on Thursday already, they're half gone. I could tell by my instincts. I have a sixth sense in radio. I put out this great high-quality stuff. I can feel already it's like a zone job. They're zoned out already, driving around in the pickups. The mind is already on the Slurpee in the holder. They want their truck with a Slurpee next to it. They want to go on autopilot. They want to slurp around on a highway. That's all. Suck on a straw. They want to put it all behind. Do you blame people? You got to be nuts to put up with this pressure day and night. You know, when I was a kid in his high school, I told you this once before. Maybe you never heard it. There were always the smarter kids who said things that amazed you. They usually had smart parents. Just a little kid, his parents were doctors, which is unheard of in Queens. Can you lower the music? It's like, dum, dum, dum. It's giving me a headache already. Boom, boom, boom. I'm developing a thought here. Boom, boom, boom. I already have a palpitation over this. I'm not going to finish the thought. The minute I hear that, I get a palpitation. I'll be back to give you more on the Savage Nation. Don't be here. Be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. As the world turns, I began hour one talking about Trump's loyalty oath, which I'm not happy with. Something's wrong with that picture. Whenever I see the Republican Party and the candidate like Trump, who is as anti-Republican as you could ever get because he's a conservative nationalist, it means some deal was worked out behind the scenes. And what it really means and portends for the future, I think, is not good for America. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm an eternal pessimist, truthfully. But there's a sliver of optimism within the pessimism. I also explained to you what socialism really is in a simple term for the average person. And I made it very simple. I said every time you want to add a fence, a deck to your house, you want to expand an apartment, put up a wall, you need permits, you need licenses, correct? That's socialism. So the face of socialism is your neighbor. It doesn't mean they're bad people, but the system that they enforce is a bad system. It constrains, it constricts, it controls, it reduces, it limits a society. The opposite of that is freedom, a free market economy, which you've heard 1,000 times. I explained to you how India was crippled by socialism even after the British were kicked out, and India became independent. They maintained a bureaucracy and made it even bigger and worse. The Indian government was worse than the British government, and the Indian economy not only stalled, it died. Then something happened in the 1990s. They shed all of the old ideas that Obama is now presenting as brand new ideas because the man is a midget. You know, Obama's actually a mental midget. You don't understand this. You think he's a genius because he gets away with virtually anything. The man is a mental midget. He's stuck in the 1960s. His rhetoric is that of a stupid college teacher from the 1960s at Columbia University. The man never grew up. He's a mental midget. So he's pushing ideas that even India threw out in the 1990s. Why'd they throw it out? Because it didn't work. They threw out all of this constrictive control over people. And the economy just boomed in India. India never saw such new cities arise once the people were free to develop their nation the way they wanted to do it. Here in America, we're going through the obverse. We're going through a retrograde turnback unlike anything ever seen in American history because we have a mental midget running the nation. A mean, demonic mental midget. Don't get me wrong. A mean, effective mental midget. Very effective for the retrograde concepts that he pushes down our throat. So I'm trying to explain to you. What I'm explaining to you is a little different than what you hear. When you say socialism, I don't know, you don't know what to imagine. You see a guy with a beard like Karl Marx. I don't know. But that's not socialism. The face of socialism is your daughter working for the city of New York in the water department, telling people they have to put a restrictor on their hose. The face of socialism is some stupid kid who just came out of college, some guy with pimples on his brains, telling you that you can't water your tree. That's socialism. Socialism is some idiot who just came out of Berkeley in the planning department, telling you that to put a fence up, you need $6,000 in permits, so some morons could decide what your fence should look like. That's socialism. So what happens is people say, the hell with it, I'm not going to build a fence, I don't want to build anything, I'm not expanding the house. So everything slows down, everything is crippled. Jerry Brown hasn't learned that either, another one living in the 1960s. All of these people are mental midgets with enormous power. They have no idea what it really means or what effect it really has on people. End of story, that's my opinion. I hope you've learned something. Good night, good luck, and have a good time. Now I'll take some calls. Where are we? Eileen from WABC has a good question. Eileen, what's your question? Welcome to the program.
Thank you for talking about socialism. Could you please educate us on when we cross from socialism into Marxism and how we can identify it in our living times right now and how dangerous it actually is?
And that socialism advocates the public ownership of property and all natural resources rather than private ownership. That's how it starts. The socialist system of government espouses cooperation over the competitiveness of a free market economy. They assume that if the government intervenes, everyone will get along and everything will be equal. Of course, it never has worked out like that, ever. It never has. They believe that all people in society contribute to the production of goods and services, and all these goods should be shared equally. Doesn't that make sense to you if you're a college teacher at Columbia and never worked in the real world and never had to apply for a permit to sell a souvlaki on the streets of New York? The opposite is the capitalist system, in which the individual, the person, trumps the collective, and the free market determines the distribution of goods. Meaning, if more people want a hot dog in the streets of New York, more carts will appear with hot dogs on them. If people don't want hot dogs and they want tofu dogs, hot dogs are no longer popular and they stop being made and sold. That's capitalism. Now, examples of socialist policies include a so-called living wage. Minimum wage. Free higher education. Now, how's that worked out? Free higher education. Have you seen the goons in the colleges now? Have you seen what they're teaching now? They're teaching don't use he, don't use her, don't use she, don't use mister, don't use missus. Now they're going after masculinity. Now they don't want sports on colleges. The radical lesbian feminists are really wonderful at education, aren't they? Another example of socialist policies would be Obamacare. Clearly unadulterated, pure, unadulterated socialism bordering on Marxism. Socialists say that capitalism creates inequality. Well, does it now, or is that people create inequality because people are unequal? Doesn't it make sense to you that some people are more talented than others and are willing to work harder than others? Are you telling me that the millions of bums in this country who don't work are not working because they could work? No, they're not working because Obama has given them a handout. He's given them fish instead of a fishing rod. And so that's what socialism is. Now, what is the difference between communism and socialism? Communism calls not only for public ownership of property and natural resources, but for the means of production of goods and services. That means they own all the industries, like in North Korea. They own steel, they own the internet, etc. And the theory was from this crackpot Karl Marx, this lunatic anti-human being Karl Marx. Well, you know, he was a nut, just a stupid Russian nut. A jealous Russian moron who hated everybody because he was a failure. Like an example of Karl Marx would be Bernie Sanders, another loser on life's stage who thinks that people who are better than him, quicker than him, faster than him, people who are better looking with better wives and nicer shoes and better cars are stealing it from him. That's an example of Bernie Sanders' mentality, who argues that capitalism divides people because of competition. No, Bernie, that's why the NFL works, because the better athletes can be seen right before your eyes, Bernie. Or if you watch a boxing match and you see two fighters going at each other, usually they're very equal, but one usually wins because he's slightly better than the other one. That, my friends, is an example of capitalism. And then usually the fighters hug each other after the fight. I love to watch boxing matches, especially like to watch Mexican fighters. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know how they take the punishment. And after it, you see them, they love each other like brothers. You see the same thing in the UFC with fighters. And they don't understand how people don't understand what fighting represents in the human spirit. It represents the best in mankind. It represents the differences between one man and another. They're not put in the ring against their will. They volunteer to go in the ring because they love competition and they want to prove they're better than the other man. And then they fight it out. That's competition. According to the lunatic college teacher Karl Marx, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, communism will give people a chance to develop into their very best. And it's a natural progression from socialism. And there's a whole, I mean, you could write books on this and how it would emerge. First, the working class gains control of society. That's what the riots are in Ferguson. They're not even the working class, they're the welfare class. So Obama starts at an even lower rung than the working class because no one believes a word he says it works for a living. Most workers in America know what he is, a stupid college teacher with a very small, a very low IQ, a very mean one with a very low IQ. And so he can't work with the working class. He works with the welfare class. That's Obamaism, which is a more virulent form of Marxism. Obamaism is actually more virulent than Marxism, meaner. And then, of course, the last stage of communism is that they take over all of society. They not only take over the ownership class, they kill them. And then society becomes perfect, and it evolves into a classless society without government, where, in other words, the thugs in the street of Ferguson rule America. You like that? How's that for a dire picture of where this all goes? It's all in my forthcoming book, by the way. I'm glad you... I didn't mean to talk about it. It's going to be found in Government Zero, which you can only order online, the first printing, first edition. But I'm not. It's too far ahead to talk about it, but the topic came up, and it's so important for me that I decided to write it out for you to understand in Government Zero. But I explained it to you for free just now. If you wish to comment on any of this, I pity you because it's Labor Day weekend and most normal people are brainless right now. Their minds are on blue skies, white clouds, and they really don't care about these bigger issues. If you're the small number of people with a high IQ who do see things for what they are, by the way, my ratings just came in. Despite what anyone may say, the show is booming. I'm going to give you one example. I can't give you the exact numbers. I can give you one number. It's a factual number that no one can detract from. In the heart of Washington, D.C., this show is heard on WMAL. I'm picking one station out of many as an example. On WMAL, I have an astonishing 3.7 share of the whole radio audience in Washington, D.C., in the age group 25 to 54, which is the toughest age bracket. In 12 plus, which is a broader audience, it's over a 4 share. These numbers are unheard of during day parts in radio today. Do you know that? Oh, you'll find them after 6 o'clock. That's easy. That's a given. Numbers are always higher after 6 o'clock when the normal person is not listening to radio anymore. They go home and have dinner. But in the hard scrabble life of day part radio, this show has an over 4 share in 12 plus in Washington, D.C. Why? Because people are thirsting for basic ideas with facts to support them and a description of what this monster, this low IQ monster, is doing to this country and the world. Any other questions? I have the answers. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Did you know that puts the fear of God into the hearts of everyone who fled Russia and the Soviet Union? But it may as well be the theme song of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the entire Democrat Party. They are leading us step by step, stage by stage, day by day, into the darkness of Marxism, socialism, communism, whichever way you want to put it. It doesn't really matter. Over bureaucracy, big bureaucracy, permits, licenses, telling people what to do, jailing Christians for not giving out wedding licenses to gay women. That is, my friend, the mark of a fascist socialist dictatorship. You say, how can you combine fascist and socialist? Very simply, because fascism and socialism are one and the same when they become dictatorial. You have been taught in school that fascism was the opposite of socialism, but it's not the opposite. Joseph Stalin was a socialist who was a fascist. He killed people. He put them in labor camps if they didn't bend to his will. That's fascism, isn't it? What does fascism mean? Many of you don't know. Fascism comes from the Italian word, the Latin word fascia, or stick. And it symbolized the batons that Roman legionaries carried to beat people into submission. That's what it means. In plain English, fascism. So Obama uses the stick of the laws in the courts, which he has stocked with fascists, to force people to do things against their will and against their religion. That's fascism. What he did today through his little judge there in Kentucky, jailing a Christian county clerk who refused to issue a marriage license to a lesbian couple, is the equivalent of fascism in the mind of anyone who understands communism or fascism. But I really wanted to talk about the economics of socialism and how it crippled India, and how in the Indian economy became something the world had never seen before. Once the people were free to pursue their own interests economically, India boomed like they had never seen in history. And whole cities grew up like mushrooms overnight once the government got out of the way. That's what the free market brought to India. Here in America, we once had the greatest free market in the history of the world, which slowly has been curtailed, constrained, and controlled and corralled by one generation after another of very low IQ leadership. The Democrat Socialist Party of America is exactly everything wrong with America and the world. It stands for a retrograde view of the economic principles I've just described to you. Everything backwards. Look at California, the most overregulated state in the world. Is its economy booming? No. He's simply taxing people to death and using high taxation as an example of his genius. Jerry Brown's a real genius. He really saved California. And what about the corruption of California? Building a railroad to nowhere? How many people have made billions of dollars on land sales around the corridor, the rail corridor? I don't know. Watch the show that just went off the air. It finished its season. The Detective. They actually showed you the corruption of those killing each other over land surrounding the future rail down the center of the corridor. I couldn't believe that they actually got that produced in Hollywood. That was amazing. And no one said a word. No one put two and two together that it was actually about Jerry Brown's railroad to nowhere. Nobody said a word because the media is controlled by the socialist government. It's called a one-party, one-media system. It's called the dictatorship. Right now, it's a dictatorship of ideas. Tomorrow, it will be much different than that, unless they are voted out of office as soon as possible, which explains the Trump phenomenon. You understand this whole picture I just painted? I hope so. It's for Labor Day, so you understand what labor really is about. It's about freedom.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So the elephant that became a tiger, and that's India. And once India abandoned decades of socialism and freed the Indian people, their natural ingenuity and desires for bettering themselves yielded whole new cities. Poverty diminished. Wealth like you could never believe. Literacy rate up. Poverty down. Health improved. The exact opposite is happening under this very low IQ president of ours. Don't confuse a man who is so mean that he will go against the people and the Congress to impose an antiquated worldview upon a people that were once free with intelligence. Don't confuse that. He's a very low IQ man because if he doesn't know history, which he obviously doesn't know, I mean, the man must be stupid, he's locked into the doxies of the 1960s hippies, and he can't seem to change. So is Hillary Clinton. She should know better. She hangs out only with billionaires. She must know what a crippling government does to people. But you see, they actually do know, because it gives them more power. All they want is power. These are drunk individuals. These are power-drunk individuals, and all they want is more power. Again, I want to tell you that this lesson I'm giving you today sort of is important to me to explain it to you in the simplest ways possible and try to explain to you when you say socialist what it means and how it can metastasize into communism and then fascism and then the next thing you know you're in prison, which already happened today, when a very, very simple woman in Kentucky, a county clerk, refused to grant a marriage license to lesbians, and a judge threw her in jail. That's fascism. So don't say it can't happen here. It is happening here under the iron boot of Barack Obama and the gay lobby. That's a one man's opinion. Now, if I were alone in a room and had no audience, you'd say, who is this guy? I'm not alone in a room with no audience. I'll remind you who I am. My name is Michael Savage. I've been on the radio for 21 years. I'm on 250 stations, including the biggest in the country, during drive time on the East Coast. All important for you to know. I've written many bestsellers, six in a row now. My last one was called Stop the Coming Civil War. My next one will be Government Zero. And that's it. What I'm saying to you is the show is booming in New York. It's up in New York on WABC. It's up 50% on WJR in Detroit. It's up to an over 4 share and 12 plus on WMAL in Washington. Now, why is that? I'm not here to just blow my own horn, although I do enough of that. All of us do, because no one else will do it for us. We certainly won't do it for each other. We're all in competition. And the thing is, I'm doing it so you understand that you're not alone. You're actually the majority of people in the country. And I mean the majority of those who actually work and produce taxes. I don't mean the thugs in the streets of America who burnt it down in Baltimore or wanted to burn down Ferguson. I'm not talking about them. Those people are Obama's armies. I'm talking about you, the working people of America, of all races, of all races, of all ethnic backgrounds. The working people of America are in real trouble, and they've been looking for a real voice. They found it in Donald Trump. But speaking of Donald Trump, who was on my show yesterday, who I support, I'm a little worried about the latest announcement that he gave today, where he said he will support the Republican Party if he's not nominated. I don't like that. Something's wrong with that picture. Now, you may say that's a good thing because he probably won't be nominated and a third party would give it to Hillary. I don't know. Sorry. I don't know. Third parties have never done well in America. I'm not only for a third party. I'm for third party, fourth party, fifth party, sixth party, seventh party. I'd like to see a full spectrum ranging from the radical left under Barack Obama, which would be the Socialist Party USA, all the way to the other side of the spectrum. All the way to the other side of the spectrum. I'd like to see a representative democracy rather than a monopoly. That's all. So I've covered that. And I don't know where you want me to go from here. I really don't know what you want me to cover from here. Iran, Trump, La Raza backing Jeb. Which corporate, who are the corporate winners from the Iran sellout? Can do all of that stuff. Fascist judge jailing a clerk for refusing gay marriage license. Not in China, but in the United States of America. So you want to hear about human rights in China? How about human rights in America? Why do Christians not have human rights? Why do Christians not have religious rights, religious freedom? I'll let you figure it out. Maybe you could put two and two together. WABC, Jim, go ahead. Make your point. What's on your mind?
Okay, hi. That's me. I'm from London, England. I grew up there, and I went to school there. And that was very socially oriented, schools and the government. And when I was 11 years old, my headmaster asked every kid in the class, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to go into business. I want to buy merchandise and import it and sell it. And he sent me home and saying, yeah, this is, he referred to the whole world, this is stealing. This is not, you're not productive. That's what they thought, you know.
Incredible. And so he said, you as a bourgeois middleman is a thief. That's what Obama believes. Do you agree with me that Obama is a classic martinet of your time, a small-minded bureaucrat who got way out of luck here, way lucky, a small-minded bureaucrat who's suddenly running the country? Isn't that what Obama really is?
That's right. That's right. He doesn't want people to be educated. He doesn't want people to be advanced, you know. And my story, I went and I got my GEC, as they called it then, and I, instead of dropping out like all my friends did, and they went into the labor force, I didn't go into the labor force. I went into science, and somehow I ended up in America, and I became a crystal grower. I grow crystals for the high-tech industry.
And amazing, amazing. And I assume you've done very well for yourself.
Thank God. But I was referred to in England as the Palestinian boy because I came from British Mandate Palestine. And they were referred to as Palestinians, not the Arabs. And you know what the history there was. They came to govern that country and they wanted it their way. They got kicked out.
So you're of Palestinian origins, and yet you've done very well as a capitalist, correct?
Correct. I am a Palestinian because the Jews were referred to as Palestinians, not the Arabs. The Arab.
Oh, so you're a Jewish man from Palestine.
Exactly. British Mandate Palestine.
I see. Well, it just shows you how corrupt and evil you are, that you succeeded on your own brains. No, doesn't it prove that your little college mini-men were correct? I mean, look how evil you are. You've done well and they haven't.
That's right. That's right.
It just proves that they're right. Anyone who does well is a threat to these little people.
That's correct.
These mini-men. They're jealous, small-minded, very, very dangerous people. Hillary Clinton embodies them to the nth degree. And I don't understand one part of this. Well, I do. Why do zillionaires in Hollywood support this kind of socialist fascism? Men who are worth billions, who live on 400-foot yachts, floating around in the Mediterranean, avoiding taxes. Why do these men, who I don't have to name, why do they support a Democrat socialist regime? Well, I'll give you a simple answer. Because when you have centralized power and they have friends in that government, they will not be taxed properly. They can get away with evading taxes. Their industries get favoritism from the government. What do they care about the country itself? See, that's how that works. You see, it explains to you finally why billionaires in Hollywood and elsewhere support the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist machine. At least that's one man's opinion. Well, I have to take a break, but before I do, I must tell you I'm salivating because I'm eating 1 hour too late today. I normally eat during a show, which is not a good thing. I have the most delicious tuna sandwich. It's not a chopped tuna sandwich with mayonnaise. I ordered something new that I didn't even know they had in a hamburger place. It's a tuna sandwich of a real tuna. I love it. It's like a hippie tuna. Line caught, special this, organic salad that. I can't wait. I'm dying. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation, in between giving you lessons on socialism, Marxism, communism, capitalism, Obamaism, global warming fantasies. I just ate lunch. It's amazing what radio does. It teaches you to compress time. In a 3 or 4 minute, 5 minute break, wow. It's terrible for my health. And I'm sure it's going to kill me one day, but it hasn't yet. In fact, I'm starting to think the opposite is true. I think that stress is probably better for me than no stress. And competition is better for me than no competition. Which is why I am not a socialist. I've not always been a winner. There were many, many years that I slogged through the mire of competition and didn't win. I was in the wrong field for getting ahead, and especially since the playing field had been distorted by the socialists, who made certain that minorities with far less brains and qualifications were given what I was supposed to be given. They stole my birthright, so I was in the wrong place at the wrong time for the socialist communist march. But as a result, they pushed me into a place where I belong, which is the most competitive world for a man of the mind, which is radio. This is the most competitive field in the world that you can imagine. I have to talk about it, actually, because you don't understand. If you're just a listener, you know, you listen to enjoy it or whatever. What are we really doing on radio? We're taking our ideas, making them as succinct as possible verbally. We have no makeup, no legs, no lipstick, no flashing lights, no $13 million stage sets. I have no writers. So we take our ideas and we present them to you. And if we do a good enough job, you listen. We do a very good job, you listen longer. And then as time goes on, you listen for years. That's how it works. Some of us write books and the books do well. It's the most competitive world for a person who thinks. And why am I telling you this? Because think about this. Who wants to eliminate talk radio? Sidney Blumenthal's moron son, Max. Hillary Clinton is on record wanting to put in the so-called fairness doctrine to make sure that men like me cannot compete. Do you understand why they want us not to compete? Why do people, losers on PBS, why would losers on PBS who can't get a real job in the competitive marketplace of real radio, why the losers on PBS want the fairness doctrine? Because then only the government media complex positions will be allowed to be expressed. Now, I got to ask you, idiot leftists, as smart as you think you are, do you really want to live in a world where there's only one worldview, one national view? Is that the world you want to live in with no opposition, no thought, no competition in ideas? Because that's what you're going to get if you elect Hillary Clinton. You might get it if you elect a Republican as well. Some of them are very liberal. I can name the Republicans who tried to impose the Fairness Doctrine a few years ago. Trent Lott was one of them. Remember that name? So don't assume that because it has an R next to its name, it's not part of the same machine it is. Anyway, side note. What would you like to talk about? I have great callers, many topics. Let's go to the middle of the country. KCMO. Bob on KCMO Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for succinctly and accurately defining socialism. Or rather, fascism. I live in a college town. I've had this argument for years. Fascism is simply a government's power over you. It can be on the left. It can be on the right. I've even taken to carrying around an old dictionary with me because back in the 50s it was properly defined. But apparently our new dictionaries speak newspeak because they are even beginning to call it.
Yes, but let's cut to the chase. Who is it on the college campuses who are the new fascists?
The professors.
Are they all fascistic, or is it all coming from one so-called community?
Well, that's a leading question. I was trying to be nice, but let's say many of them are in the humanities and not in things like engineering. Mm-hmm.
And aren't many of them in feminist studies and gender studies?
Absolutely. And by the way,
aren't some of the worst fascists on American college campuses experts in gender studies and feminist studies? And why is that? Why is it that they're experts on gender studies and they have no idea about the damage they're doing to the world, nor do they care? Why?
I think part of it is because if you have to tack studies on the end of something, it's not really a subject. Do we say history studies? Do we say...
No. Of course, there are no gender studies. It's an invented field, as are most of the fields in social sciences. They're created and invented, then they give themselves journals to write in, then they put themselves on peer review committees, then they give themselves advanced awards, and then they get all sorts of grants. Thank you, my friend. Which is why I said to Donald Trump yesterday that if he becomes president, I jokingly, not so jokingly, said the only thing I'd like is to be made the head of the NIH. And I said I would straighten out science and medicine research, medical research in America. We'd have real research again instead of politics. And he said, you know what? I like smart people to run things. You talk about corruption. Do you realize how corrupt the CDC is, or the NIH, or the NSF? Do you realize what this actually means, government-supported medical research and science? How much pure science is really being done? And how much of the so-called science that is funded has to conform to the dictates of the government? All of it. Virtually every scientific study, quote-unquote, has to prove that there's global warming, or they will not get a grant. Virtually every poor young PhD scientist or postdoc fellow has to conform to the dictates of the fascists who are running the NIH and the NSF. And that is why there's no real research left in America. Just as business is faltering, so is science, so is medicine. Advances in medical research, how many have there been in America recently? Why? Because it's been crippled by a gigantic socialist, fascistic bureaucracy. Same exact rules apply. When America was free, we had the greatest scientists in the world. When America was totally free, we had the greatest medical scientists in the world. Now you understand the connection? I realize I'm just painting a broad picture. I realize that offends so many people with nuance in America. They like nuance. They like nuance so much they don't realize they've lost everything with their nuance. Sometimes black and white is better than nuance. It makes things clearer for you, and you can really understand what's actually going on. One man's opinion. Very, very blunt, Michael Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is true that Iran lives up to its commitments. It will gain access to roughly $56 billion of its own money, revenue frozen overseas by other countries. But the notion that this will be a game changer, with all this money funneled into Iran's pernicious activities, misses the reality of Iran's current situation, partly because of our sanctions. The Iranian government has over half $1 trillion in urgent requirements, from funding pensions and salaries to paying for crumbling infrastructure. Iran's leaders have raised the expectations of their people.
You can turn it all right. They got the broad stroke. Yeah, they're going to take the money and they're going to give it in pensions. They're not going to build missiles with it, right? Right. Just like the glaciers are retreating because of man's anthropogenic warming. That's all. Keep on the march. The low IQ president, very mean, very effective, but very, very low IQ, who doesn't know what he's talking about. I guess he's aiming it at thugs in America who really don't know what he's talking about, but just like him, and they figure anything he says is correct. Along the lines of the bouncer coming in from the Vatican. Again, bamboozling millions of people around the world with global warming. Here is a guy, an ex-bouncer. He comes a priest. Now he's the Pope. Now he's an expert on the climate. The only thing the Pope knows about climate is that when it rains, his aides take out umbrellas. But that doesn't stop him from telling us that we're destroying the planet and this and that. All part of the, again, socialist agenda. That's how it fits. Government control. Massive one world government, one controlling body, one world religion. Get it? That's how it works. Now, I have more to say about the bouncer from the Vatican when he gets here, in that I've never in my life believed I would wake up to see a speech by a pope to the Congress. I thought we had a separation of church and state. I find it so offensive, it's unbelievable. It's not bad enough that we're having a religious figure lecture Congress, but that it's a socialist who is inventing things about the climate and other things that he knows very well is based upon no science whatsoever. It's pure politics. So we have a very political pope, as they were, by the way, hundreds of years ago. You don't understand that. Oh, Pope, he has a cross on. He's a holy man. He's descended directly from God. No, he isn't. He's just a man. He's a politician who worked his way up to becoming pope. You think that's not political to become a pope in the Vatican? You think there's no competition between the bishops, the way the chess game is played? So he was the most clever of all of the bishops, and he became pope. He maneuvered himself politically to become the pope, and now he's maneuvering himself to become the king of the world. Rarely says a word about the Holocaust against Christians in the Middle East. Hardly ever says a word about Islamofascism. And yet he's going to lecture us now about climate. That's all. Now let's move on. What's in the news? Everything I talked about in the first 2 hours. The Iran deal, which is a done deal. The low IQ government got the deal done. They got the deal done. They did what they were told to do by those who control everything, whoever they may be. And now Israel's the big loser. The big loser here is Israel. Now, many of you don't care. You hate Israel. And most of you who hate Israel are Jews. I know it's shocking. You just got a shock if you're a liberal Jew. That's the equivalent of if you have, let's say, a toothache and you suck air through it. You got a migraine from what I just said. In my experience, the most anti-Israel people I've ever met are Jews, liberal Jews. Go figure. Here's John Kerry, the anti-Semite of all time, in my estimation, in clip 6. You're not going to believe this. Listen to this double-talking, backstabbing liar in 6.
I take a back seat to no one in my commitment to the security of Israel.
Well, you've been in the back seat all your life.
I demonstrated through my 28-plus years in the Senate.
Ah, come on.
And as Secretary of State, I am fully conscious of the existential nature of the choice Israel must make. I
so you gave them the choice to
Israel,
die.
Even more than any other country, simply cannot afford a mistake defending its security.
Right.
But I am also convinced, as is President Obama, that this agreement puts us on the right path to prevent Iran from ever getting a nuclear weapon.
Liar.
The people of Israel will be safer with this deal.
Yeah, this way to the gas chambers. Come in and take a shower. Commandant Kerry will lead you into the showers. He's giving you a bar of soap. The people of Israel will be safe if it is dear. Please bring your valise and come with us to the showers, where you will be given a nice clean shower and fresh clothing to wear. Commandant Kerry will help you. That's unbelievable. They get away with it. I guess people are stupid. They'll buy anything. Whatever they tell them, whatever they spoon-feed the libs, they buy. And some of them are billionaires in Hollywood, live on 400-foot yachts. I don't understand how you don't understand why. How could men who live on 300-400-foot yachts in the Mediterranean to avoid taxes support a socialist regime like this and want it on steroids with Hillary Clinton? Answer, they pay almost no taxes. They evade taxes. Their movie industry is given tax credits. And no one will attack them because they spend hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure no one ever taxes them or catches them. And they couldn't do that in a true free market economy. They'd have to pay their fair share of taxes, and the movie industry wouldn't be given favorite status. Any other questions? Because I have the answers. Now, admittedly, it's one man's opinion. It's my opinion. Michael Savage. Instant Michael Savage. Presto magico. I don't know if I want to continue down this line. I've done so much in these hours that I'd like to move on to other topics. Also, I've eaten my tuna, my fresh-caught, line-caught hippie tuna with fries and no salt in a salad. I feel so good, it's frightening. And all of the endorphins are raging through my frontal brain. My eyes are literally flickering with enjoyment. My dog ate a piece of roast beef. He's not a vegan. He got roast beef and some of those dog chips. He's laying underneath me with his butt against the wires. Where is he? Where are you? He's like he's gone. Where is this guy? He's so elusive. Where did he go? I hope he's still alive. Maybe touched the wire and shriveled up into the amazing shrinking poodle. He's not here. Teddy, you ever get freaked out in your house with a dog? This is occurring more and more. You ever get, Teddy, you do this, and you think they ran away, they got eaten up. And then they're laying right behind your feet, and you don't see him. I don't see him. Hold on a minute. I'm not going to do a show. Hold on a minute. There he is. Okay. I should have known. He ate, and he's lazy, too. He's sleeping on a sofa. What do you think? He's stupid? He had roast beef and some chips made up of God knows what. And he went to sleep on the couch. He was tired of laying on the floor. That's all. What do you think? He's dumb? The reason we love our pets is that they are our hobos, our hippies. Our bohemians, they are our homeless pets, when you think about it. They represent what we like to do, some of us. Hang around, eat, lick people just to get a little food. They do whatever they want. No one ever hurts them. And they don't have to report to anyone for anything. As long as they don't crap on the floor, okay, fine. They do that in the beginning. I will never do it again. I love this dog, but he's 11. I don't know. Let's not go with the box already with the... I have two boxes from the last two pets sitting on the mantle. I'm not going to go through it again. I can't, it's like losing, don't say it because people get mad at you. It is like losing a friend or a person. Then you'll hear the next person say, no, they're better than people. No, I don't say they're better than people. Humans are different than dogs, but they're pretty damn good. I can't imagine having a horse die, what that's like. Now, don't call me if you're a rancher and tell me your heart story about your horse Trigger died and how you were left heartbroken. I just don't understand it. It's bad enough losing a dog, but these horses, you look at their eyes, and I'm a city boy. You know they're conscious of you. You know they're loyal. You know that they would hoof stampede someone for you. But, wow, I don't know. What do you do with a dead horse? I just thought about that. What happened? I mean, a dog, you know what to do with. I don't want to get into that too detailed. But what do they do with dead horses? They pull them away with a tractor, with a chain, and then what? I don't know where they go after that. I see it as a city boy in the movies. A horse dies, let's say. They tow it away. What do they do with it? Don't tell me glue factory. I don't want to hear that. Please. Dog food they make out of your horse? My dog's eating a horse now? I don't know. I once had horse meat by accident. I had cousins who lived in a small town in Pennsylvania. So we'd go over there on holidays, train, Lehigh Valley Railroad. I used to love it. Train would leave New York Central Station. And it was an electric locomotive. And then when it would get to New Jersey under the river, the train would stop and they would switch cars to a coal-burning train. Would you believe that? A coal-burning locomotive in my time And because there were a lot of pollutants in New Jersey. That's why it looks like everyone's from The Sopranos. It was the pollution in the water and the air that produced anomalies in the people's faces that produced the equivalent of Tony Soprano's. And the Jersey Shore is a direct result of the pollution. There's no question about it. But nevertheless, the train would start to spew the fumes. I love that train ride. I guess it's because it's holidays and I'm not going there now. They're all gone, whatever. And a train would chug along, and I would eat. I'd take my magazines with me that my mother would let me buy. Even as a kid, I got, would you believe it, as a city boy, I was buying gun magazines? Oh, man, no, is that so right for you psychiatrists out there? Yes, as a little boy on the way to Pennsylvania, I would read gun magazines. I loved them, the hunting and fishing magazines. The name Winchester itself would excite me. Yeah, rare. Oh, what's wrong with him? I was even on a rifle team in Manhattan, in Queens, New York. Would you believe it? Rifle teams? Yes, we had a rifle team. And I was issued a Mossberg 22. And I learned to be a crack shot in the basement of Jamaica High School. New York City had rifle teams. Can you imagine that in my generation? No one used drugs, you see. The psychiatrists were not yet dispensing mind-altering medications which destroyed boys' minds, where they'd run through the hall and kill everybody. So we didn't kill anybody. We didn't take a gun and shoot ourselves. If we got unhappy, we talked to somebody. Well, we never said anything about our unhappiness, to be honest with you. Do you know that even in my day, we never said a word about what was wrong? Nothing. They'd say, what's the matter? No, don't bother me. Nothing. We learned to be a man. We kept it to ourselves. What do you think? We didn't have pain? We had plenty of pain. Now everything they cry, oh, this, everything is not, everything they're heartbroken over. This is no good. Boo, take medication. I'm this, I'm that. I got this one wrong with me, that one wrong with me. But we didn't kill ourselves in the numbers of today. How come all of this girly talk for men has produced more rage, more murder, more homicide, more suicide? Tell me why. Letting it all hang out, hippies, has worked to the opposite effect. That I want to talk about. That's something I want to talk about. Now I'm on to a subject I really want to talk about. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. It is the way of all flesh that we're talking about, and it's the way of all nations. Nations are born, nations live, nations age, and nations die. And Obama appears to be the undertaker of our nation. He's the undertaker. He was elected just in time to bury the nation. Okay, come on, I'm just joking. You know, he's a great man. You know, he's doing such good for the world. So I do have a 3.7 share on WMAL. It is, here it is, right in front of my eyes. Numbers don't lie. People lie about numbers, but I don't lie about numbers because numbers don't lie. I'm very proud of my ratings. I'm not giving you anything that's faulty. I'm saying this for a reason, is that there's a lot of thinking people who want to hear a different point of view than what they're getting, and they tune into shows like mine. It's that simple. And the show is up. Even for August, it's up 40% in New York on WABC. It is up 50%. In Galveston on KSEV. Washington, D.C., it's up 22%. That's awesome. Really, it's a monster, a big thing. I'm just looking. I'm just scanning. Is this up or down? I better be careful. Here, Detroit, Michigan, WJR, huge audience, up 50% from the last ratings book. Someone's listening to the Savage Nation. It may not be you, you intelligent genius, you, who only tune in to hear how smart you are and how stupid I am. You know everything. No one else knows anything. These are all idiots. They're all right-wing morons, not like you, a sophisticated, nuanced individual who listens to Vivaldi and takes an antidepressant. That's all. I'm not going to read you what went down, but those are the things that went up in their big stations. And that's what's important, because I'm not going to live forever. I'm not going to be on the radio forever. How do you like that? I've accepted my mortality recently. That's terrible. I almost feel like talking about it. That's why I brought up the dead animal and the dead horses. I'm starting to feel it heavily. I don't like it. I don't like the idea, because my whole life I rode with the idea I wasn't going to die. I did. Most young men don't think, they think they're immortal. You've heard that. Now, that should last till you're 18 or 19. I ran with it well into my recent years. I swear to you, I never accepted my mortality. Would you believe it? Maybe it's a healthy, insane thing to do. The religious view is the exact opposite. They teach you that you're born and you're going to die and you're nothing and you go back to the earth. It's a horrible way to live. My God, how do you get up in the morning if that's what you believe? I don't understand traditional religions would teach you you're nothing but a foul-smelling seed and a dust. How do you live? You get up and say, I'm a piece of dust? Every morning you're supposed to get up and cross yourself and say ashes to ashes and dust to dust? How do you get up from that? That's like a psycho state. So I never did. I always felt that there'd be new discovery. I would put it out of my mind. There'll be discoveries. There'll be transplants. And people will discover the magic thing for this and that. I'll live forever. Because a man like me should live for 1,000 years, as Zorba the Greek said, as written by Kazantzakis, as portrayed by the great actor from Hollywood, who has a name I forgot. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to disrespect him. I loved him. Anthony Quinn. He played the best Zorba I ever saw. I never saw another Zorba, but that was the best of all the Zorbas I ever saw. Anthony Quinn was one of the greatest actors of all time. Who do we have like him today? Nobody. But you think he's dead. Remember he was on my show in the 90s? I was so honored when Anthony Quinn came on the show. He had he retired. He was living in Rhode Island on a big estate, and he was a sculptor at that point. And he was so gracious, as they say. He really was. Not arrogant, not hostile, not making believe he was better than me or anyone else. I loved him on the show. Older guy, married again, had another family, moved to Rhode Island, sculpted and dropped dead. He's gone. Just imagine now the bones staring up, the teeth. I'm in a very bizarre mood. I don't know what it is. Something, maybe the fish I just ate. Maybe the fish did it to me. I don't know. I'm thinking now about this. Teddy, are you feeling okay from the roast beef? He looks better than I do. Oh, when I come back, we'll talk about socialism, Trump, whatever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A new study in Canada, one of the finance minister of Canada wants to increase sales tax and lower income tax. How would you feel about a higher sales tax in America, in every state, with lower state income taxes like in California? How come Jerry Brown doesn't do that? He taxes all the rich out of the state except those who live on yachts in the Mediterranean in the movie business. I often wonder about that. How do so many billionaires in L.A., why do they stay here when they're paying legitimately on straight up 15% state tax on top of federal because they're not paying it? Yeah, I don't understand anything. Their company makes the money, an offshore company. Then they pay themselves a salary just enough to pay their expenses. They pay no taxes at all. That's all. That's how it works. And the reason they don't get caught is because they own the government. They smear them off, throw fundraisers for them in Beverly Hills. You ask yourself why. They all drive Priuses. They live in houses that are minimum $30 million. That's a guest house now in Beverly Hills. $30 million. And they drive a Prius to show you they're down with the environment. Then they throw parties for Hillary and Barack Obama. Pure crazy, right? Socialist. And many of them are Jewish, I'm sorry to tell you. And they support Israel, yet they support these people who stab Israel in the back. How does that work? Why? Because their industry is supported by the regime. Tax credits for Hollywood. And they get away with paying no taxes. So what does it cost them? Nothing. It's all business. Higher sales tax, less income tax. Don't call me on that. It's a no-brainer. How about lower sales tax and lower income tax and fire 20% of the bureaucrats in California? Kick them out of the country altogether for what they've done to the state. Yeah, how about it? Lower sales tax and lower income tax in the state of California and cut 20% of Jerry Brown's bureaucracy. Would that work for you? That's all. You really want to talk about the Iran deal? What can you say about it? You know, there's a pathetic rally coming up. Why would anyone go to that? It's done already. They know the deal. Anyone who stands there knows that they're on the wrong side. They lost already. Oh, they're going to stand there for principle. I get it. I would tell Trump not to go to that. He's speaking. I don't blame him. I'm against it, too. But it's a de facto win for the socialist Islamist in the White House. He won. He pulled off another one. Another one he pulled off. Obamacare. I don't have to list them, do I? All the wonderful thing. That's why I drifted from lunch into the dead animals. I was thinking about dead horses. It's why I never had a horse. Even though I was a little boy, my first hero was actually Gene Autry. Again, any psychiatrist listening, boy, did they have a field day today. Ooh, that right-wing fascist on the radio. Let's see, he read gun magazines when he was young. He liked a cowboy when he was young. He was on the rifle team when he was young. He was a Boy Scout. Oh, my God. Why wasn't he girlified earlier? Why wasn't he put on a drug to rein in all of those masculine impulses of his? Why was he not sissified at an early age? Let's see if we can pass a new DSMA regulation. Over-obsession with being a man. That's an illness now that has to be medicated. Desire to become a man, not a boy. Another illness. Too much testosterone has to be removed by the state. Yeah, keep laughing all you want. It's okay to me. I enjoy it. I enjoy all of this stuff. 1982, I found a story I wrote, which I cannot even give you the title. It's too original. It was about a future America run by obese, mean, lesbian feminists. That's all I can tell you. I wrote it in 1982. Now I wake up and take a look at your universities today. Who's running them? What they're doing to the colleges? Take a look at what just happened down in Kentucky, where a Christian clerk, a county clerk, a small job, refused to grant a marriage license to a lesbian couple because it was against her religion, and they put her in jail. In jail now. No fine, jail. You're telling me that's not fascism? So my vision from 1982 is clear. I made a decision over the weekend. My next thing I'm going to do on my own is I'm going to take that little book I wrote about this futuristic American world that we're now living in that I wrote in 82. And I'm going to try to illustrate it if I can. Although I may just use my own watercolors over the last few years, which don't match the book exactly, but they sort of do, and intersperse them. And I'm going to sell it online. Just put it online for $1 a download. I'm not going to go the publisher route. It's a classic. It'll be good as The Little Prince by Saint-Exupéry. I can't give the title away. It'll be stolen immediately. There are very few original ideas in the world. I don't know how to manage the download thing, though. There's so much stuff I'd like to do, but I don't know how to do that whole computer thing. And I ask people, they don't know how to do it. Then they find sites, they don't know how to do it. How do you encrypt it so no one can rob your story? Let's say I put it on the internet. My story, and you have to pay a dollar. You click, bump, pay a dollar, and you get it. How do you keep them from sharing it with other people for nothing? I don't understand that part of it. I'd like to just do it. I mean, for a dollar is nothing for you to get that book. I'd love to produce that on my own. I have other old stories, old found early Savage writings that I'd like to post on the internet for a buck. I'm not thinking it's going to be as big a hit as, you know, Stop the Coming Civil War or, you know, Government Zero. But I know there's a market for it, whatever the number is, because people would like that as part of their collection, since we're talking about dead horses. I'm trying to think what to do with my archives now. I'm thinking of burning all of my journals. Would you believe it, Robert? I swear I've reached that point. For 2 years now, 3 years now, I've been working on my journals that were written between 1963 and, I don't know when, the 90s. Then I went into radio and stopped writing journals. I never wrote another journal because this is a journal, up to a point. The radio show is an open book. To a certain extent, I mean, I'm not insane. An insane man would get up here and tell you every little detail. Nobody does that. I give you just enough to get a feeling for what's going on. But the point is, I look at these books, and I had 6 years of them transcribed, 63 to 69, and WorldNet Daily is about to publish them next year. And I looked at it. I got cold feet over the weekend. I said, I don't want to publish it. Then I said, I do want to publish it. I'll just, as I'm going through, like, why would you want to even do that? Who cares? So I actually had a vision of burning all of my journals. One day, backyard, fireplace, light a fluid and a match. Burn my entire past. Robert says yes. Burn the past. Yeah, I just thought of it because who cares? You think the children are going to want to read that garbage? It's just the sufferings of young Vertha. All my complaints are in the book. All these journals. I once said to a mystical rabbi from Europe, from Russia now, not an American type, not a bagels and lox rabbi, not that type, not a Berkeley reformed Jewish rabbi. This was an old style guy, smoked, obese, a real man, in other words. He wasn't a jogger. He was a prayer. So I told him, I keep journals. I write everything about my life in these books. He looked at me, took a puff and a cigarette, and he says, well, I said, I want God to know when I meet him what I did. He says, really? He says, let me tell you something. God wants to know what you didn't put in the books. These guys are so smart. love these guys. They had such sharp answers. They would have been great in radio in their day if they had talk radio. But you can't sustain 3 hours of that. These one-liners are great if you're a religious genius with someone who comes to you. You can give a line like that. God will want to know what you didn't put in the books. Boom. That's a rim shot. But try doing that for 3 straight hours. It doesn't work. You know, I'm starting to think I like the Catholic thing with confession. I'm not a Catholic, but man, they surely perfected this whole thing about guilt. I never saw anything like it. I was watching Ray Donovan. I always knew about the confession, but didn't really get it. What a genius whoever figured that out. Who was the guy in the Catholic religion who came up with the confessional? I mean, it wasn't in the Bible. Someone figured it out. You sit in the booth, you tell your secrets. They can't tell the cops. They can't tell your husband, nothing. They can't tell your teacher, nobody. Your shrink doesn't even know what you tell the priest. And it's immune from the law. Well, excuse me, I'm sorry. This is still now, it's still immune from the law, but tomorrow, who knows what it'll be, immune from the law. They'll put microphones yet in the confessional. That'll come next with the new pope. But anyway, I thought about what a wonderful system that was. Look how smart Freud was. He took the confessional, which was free, and he put a dollar amount on it. What a genius Sigmund Freud was. So all this free psychiatry, what are they, nuts? I figured out a field now where you come and tell me your problems. I charge you $300 an hour, and you have to leave after 1 hour, and you're never cured. Because there's original sin and there's ongoing sin. What an incredible genius Freud was to monetize the confessional. I never thought about it that way. What a smart man. He monetized the confessional. Incredible genius. Are any of you enjoying this out there or what? You want to go back to the regular stuff? Are they listening to me? Where are they? The ratings are up, but they must... I don't see calling now. I got calls on dead animals, dead horses, Iran deal. I'm way past that. Now I'm into death, dying, psychiatry, confessionals. This is what I like to do more than anything on earth. I'm having a good time. It must be the fish. It's the tuna, the organically grown line caught hippie tuna. It make you think that the fish wanted to be caught. I love these restaurants, line caught, sustainable. The animal couldn't wait to be caught and have its head cut off and bled to death on a deck. But I'm giddy from it. No one's calling on this. They're fanatical. They're on another station calling about Trump and about the Iran deal. I did that 2 hours ago. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. I just asked some guys who are Catholic who work here. They said in the third grade, you confess already? I can't imagine. 8 years old, what a kid does wrong. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. What could a kid do? He touched himself. That's the number one thing they go in the confessional for. Well, maybe they stole something. Who knows? They snatched a piece of candy. What's it the church's business if you touched yourself? I don't understand. Why would you subject the kid to that? That's pretty weird. It makes guilt. Like it just kind of like embeds guilt in a person that he's no good. I don't know. Look, every to each his own. Religion is weird. Every religion is different. As I say, I think it's a brilliant idea, confessions. You sit in the booth and you say what you did wrong, and the guy says you're forgiven, and then you can get free to do it again. You're relieved of your guilt eternally, over and over again. I love it. It costs you nothing, too, on top of it all. And Freud charged $300 an hour. He invented a system now, $400 an hour. And if they can't do it, they give you a drug to go with it. And you come back again uncured. And you keep coming back for the... I know a guy... A wealthy kid, I swear, his father died, left him a fortune, never worked a day in his life. This kid, he's 65, 70 now. Kid, he's like a kid. He's still in therapy. He's been in therapy 50 years, 45 years. 4 times a week, he goes and sits and tells the psychiatrist his problems. If he converted to Catholicism and invested the money, think about that. I just thought, I mean, if this kid had converted, he was an atheist. But if he had converted to Catholicism and went into the confessional all these years and put the money away that he was giving the psychiatrist and put it into real estate in London, you know what he'd be worth today? That's an interesting idea. That's a stand-up shot. It's how I get away from gloom. Try to tell sardonic humor. I get depressed. I start thinking about the dog and the dust and the ashes in the box. I don't want Teddy to die. You know, you look at him every bite now. What's wrong with me? Every bite of the dog, he doesn't feel it. He's not worried I'm going to die. I walk past another guy with a dog. How old is he? I ask. Nine. And we go, terrible. It's like, horrible. How old's your dog? Nine. Terrible thing. Yeah, that's the writer you're talking about. Is there death in the air or something? What is going on? Is it because Obama is like the doctor of doom? Is this guy so filled with emanating doom and gloom about the world? Has he so poisoned the world? I don't think I'm the only one into this right now. How old is your dog? Oh, he's 11. Oh, that's sorry to hear it. No, he's a young dog. Yeah, but he only lived to 15. No, but little dogs live to 18. It's terrible, the imagery. Then they, every movie now have to turn off when they go to a graveyard with a hole. Every movie, that, and the movies are so dark. Every movie, they're digging a grave in a desert now. What's Hollywood's obsession now with graves in the desert? That's the next thing they do from their yacht in the Caribbean? All right, put in graves now in the desert. And see if you can put down religion a little more. All right, a little more anti-religion. A little less on the violence there. They're going nuts on the guns. Push in a little more suicide. It won't make the papers and connect it to us too much. All right, leave me alone. I'm heading to Cannes right now. Have a nice day, yeah. I have imaginary dialogues in my own mind. Put that down now, Mr. Psychiatrist. Go ahead. Let's see. He loved gun magazines as a young boy. Was on the rifle team. Boy Scout. Let's see. What else? Loved jungles. He loved all sorts of stuff, like Cub Scout, Boy Scout. Spent years alone in the tropics in the collecting plants. Oh, God. Put that together, doctor. Whew. Now he's a right-winger on the radio. But how come I agree with him? That's the problem. Then the psychiatrist needs a therapist. He goes to his doctor. He says, I've been listening to this guy ridiculing him so long, I actually started to agree with him. What's wrong with me? So then the doctor's doctor says, well, I don't know, tell me what he says. Before long, they're talking about me. And then the two psychiatrists have to go to the next psychiatrist and say, what's wrong with them? They actually agree with me, even though they're liberals and humanitarians. This is what happens when you start to think. It's very dangerous, doctors. Doctor, I guarantee you, if you start to think, you get in real trouble. My father, God rest his soul, was an atheist, and he taught me to think. He taught me the truth is more important than anything on earth. I didn't know what the truth meant, but he sure made me know what the truth was. He didn't let me get away with any fibbing. Do I tell everybody the truth? No. But him, I did. I was afraid of him. And I had no choice. I was a little kid. I was terrified of him. Now that I'm not afraid of people, I can get away with fibbing a little bit. I mean, what do you think? Why, you don't? Who listening to this show, here's what Jesus would say to you. Let he who is without sin throw the first stone. Let he who is listening to this show who does not lie, tell me that you don't lie. Tell me you don't lie. Tell me listening to the show that you don't lie. You try not to. You try not to do the 10, the big 10. Everyone tries to avoid the big 10 if they're sane. Unless you vote for Obama. Then the big 10 becomes your mantra. That's your playbook. You do the big 10. If you're a Democrat, you make sure you do everything the Big Ten tells you not to do. You commit adultery, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you rat out your neighbor, you steal your neighbor's mule, whatever. But you do it for the good of humanity because you're a Marxist. It's for the good of mankind that you steal their mule. I always confuse those two animals. I don't like that. I think the Bible got that word wrong. It makes me uncomfortable. You shall not covet thy neighbor's mule. I mean, it doesn't say mule, okay? It's the other thing. I don't like it. I don't like the word.